The information provided on this podcast does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Listeners should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter.
Well, with the deeds of cession, I know that, it's available on the American Samoa Bar website for listeners who want to look into that. So it's public information, and it's not too long. So it's not like reading the U.S. Constitution. It is readable. And so there's this claim that we've transferred American Samoa transferred sovereignty to the U.S., but pertaining to that claim, it's only a partial transfer. And I say that because in the session of Tutuila and Aunu'u, where we grant the U.S. full power and authority to enact law and control land, that is not absolute. And how do we know that? It's because we still have our land titles, our communal land system. And so, we have to perform analysis when returning to these agreements, because it's not what others claim outside of American Samoa and outside of American Samoans. And it's not clear. So we have to remember that as we're going through this to protect our own interests, that we can't be fooled by how others are presenting this issue.
Right. And there's a lot of that going on. And I think, the status itself is, from my understanding of it, when I read it, the status that we have as American Samoa status, the relationship, political relationship, the American Samoa in the U.S. is categorized as unincorporated and unorganized, meaning that not all laws in the U.S. are applicable in America.
Exactly. Right. The relationship we have is we want the U.S. protection. We have the U.S. protection, but we don't want to give up. We don't want absolute power from the U.S. We want. We just want the protection, and that's what we received. But we can't be fooled into thinking that citizenship is this holy grail. Like, for instance, there's a lot of social media titles and articles throwing around the word citizenship pertaining to American Samoa. But it's actually, as we mentioned earlier, birthright citizenship that is the issue, which is distinctive from the citizenship that is accessible to everyone through naturalization.
This thing is really exploding on the internet. And of course, the Samoans, not only the Samoans in the diaspora, right? And then the Samoans in the local and back home, they were like, wait a minute, there's something really going on over here. When someone talks about, our people serving in the US military, which is an honorable deal, right? They should be offered this U.S. citizenship, but that's how it was phrased, right? Mm-hmm. They want people to, essentially it's phrased in such a way that, maybe we ought to become U.S. citizens, right? But you and I both know that if you trace it back and you try to do a legal analysis of it, so what does it really mean to become a U.S. citizen? What does it mean to have birthright citizenship? Mm. And I think, Guam, the island of Guam, gives us a really good depiction, an example of what it would be if we were ever given that birthright citizenship. So, of course, you talk about Guam, you've got the natives in there. I think they're called Chamorros, right?
Yes.
So they, after so many years, they're looking around and they're looking at their people, and it's starting to sort of decrease, right? They look at it's deteriorating. And so they wanted to open, they came up with this program where only Chamorros are given the right to sort of apply for housing, and kind of like the homestead law in Hawaii, right? Mm-hmm. And the difference between the two laws or the two programs in Hawaii and Guam is that Hawaii was enacted by Congress. Mm-hmm. And the program in Guam was not. It was, of course, passed in on the local level in their Congress. And then you have the Department of State then turns around and sues the, you know, the state of the island of Guam, or the this, I forgot what it's called, this program, and the people that initiated the program for discrimination. And that's one of the issues that, so they sue, they sue these people for discrimination, basically, essentially for, because it's only for Guamanians, and then the outsiders are looking in and it's like, wait a minute, what about us? We can't apply for these programs, right? So discrimination is one issue that was brought. That's why, that's how this, the state sues them for discrimination. Now you revert it back to American Samoa if this issue ever becomes valid, where we are now become, we were given this birthright citizenship. And then you would have outsiders that come in there. And by the way, we already have a good majority of people. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's good for the economy and it's good for everything. But you're giving them the right to essentially sue you for your own land.
Yes.
I mean, and I know we talked about some issues like that. And I think you mentioned, what was that issue that you mentioned?
Homelessness.
Yes. Right.
It's so, like, thank you. So with Guam, again, that's another Pacific island. That's another Pacific area that is, has a relationship with America. So similar to American Samoa, we have a relationship with America. But what's, as Leoma explained, while Guam is not a state, they have birthright citizenship, which American Samoans, we do not have birthright citizenship. And so the connection between what's happening in Guam and displacement is that while they do have land, the indigenous people have land that is passed on from their family to the next generation, to the next generation, similar to generational wealth, except it's generational land.
Right.
But because of birthright citizenship, they've opened themselves up to these equal protection lawsuits, as Leoma was explaining. Birthright citizenship opened themselves up to equal protection lawsuits, opened themselves up to the displacement of their own land, displacement of their own home, which is similar to the evictions that are happening here on U.S. territory. Us nationals living here on the mainland, we are familiar with evictions that are happening in the Pacific Islander community due to low income and skyrocketing rental rates. But on the mainland, we already knew we didn't possess anything. We already came here powerless, and we were already vulnerable to the rich. We knew that game. What we don't know is that we're going to open ourselves up to a new game. Whereas, you know, you were explaining about rich people and their interests in our land.
You know, from an economic standpoint, we are already at a disadvantage in terms of, you know, how many rich people do you know of that are south of Samoan ancestry? None, right? And so when you have, you know, our island open up for, you know, for grabs, right? And then people are going to go in there, they're going to want to purchase land in American Samoa. And of course, do they have the best interest of the people of American Samoa in mind? I don't think so.
No.
So
it's impossible to have non-Indigenous people share the same interests as an Indigenous people pertaining to land. The first step will be to remove future possession for the Indigenous people, especially the American Samoans with ties to American Samoa. We have to understand that this is a sovereignty issue. This is a nationalist issue.
You know, and another good point that we need to at least mention is, you know, like, you know, when the issue first came about, and you know, the people were wondering what, you know, so what has the government of American Samoa done? You know, what has Amata done to sort of help out the people of American Samoa? They have done something.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those who are you know, concern about this issue of birthright citizenship, if they're so concerned about it, there's, it's not like there isn't another alternative or another avenue to getting sort of citizenship. It's always been there. We're talking about a relationship that has lasted for 118 years. And so the thing that comes to mind is, why would you want to fix something if it's not broken, right? It's been 118 years. You look at some of the, you know, the progress that we've made thus far. I think we've made some really good progress, right? You look at, you know, the cost of, I mean, in terms of people are making more and more money in American Samoa. There, you know, the government has provided grants to American Samoa, and you know, it's not like it's decreasing in amount. It's gone up, you know. We've got, there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of these things coming in from Congress. So I would think that, you know, why would you want to fix something that has worked for 118 years?
Yes.
So, and as you mentioned, you know, citizenship really gives that opportunity to outsiders to sort of exploit our land and tenure system and Maasai land tenure system. So, which is essentially the backbone of the Fa Samoan culture.
Yes. I really appreciate you breaking that down, because hopefully our listeners can follow that. These are competing. There's a big tension between what the nationals living in the territories want and what the nationals or some of the nationals living in the states want. For instance, it's an international law issue when we're talking about the territories. What's good for American Samoa should be determined by indigenous people, and that's called right to self-determination, which is an international issue. Whereas the constitutional law issue that these plaintiffs are trying to raise, it's not applicable, which is why it's getting kicked out of court. The rule is not applicable. It's an international law issue.
There's another case that's going on in, I think in Utah, it's pretty much arguing the same thing where, you know, they're arguing that because they were born in American Samoa, they're afforded the underlying issue behind this is the 14th Amendment, right? Which is due process. Anyone that is born on U.S. soil is afforded this 14th Amendment to, you know, the right to pretty much anything, right? And so anything against that, it's a violation of the 14th Amendment. And so, but you go back to this case, the Supreme Court has already ruled on what's that case that's going on in California, the Tawala case.
Yes.
You know, I think what's going to happen in this case in Utah is, you know, the judge is pretty much going to have to look at it and say, you know what, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court has already ruled on this. But I think our people have to be mindful that, you know, we've pretty much have stretched this thing, because it started with, we started with this deed of cession, and then we've come to the unincorporated and unorganized status, and then it stretched to the issue of 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And I think in 20 years from now, it's going to stretch even further, right? So I think our people as a community should really look into this issue and see what we're all about.
Thank you for listening. Please join us for our next episode on Pacifica Issues Podcast.